Good morning, Maywood. How you doing today? You know, we have similar names, don't we? We have Maywood and Inglewood. You have to watch yourself. You might say one or the other, right? It is good to be in the house of God, and I take it that you're ready to receive from the Lord this morning. Can you say amen to that? I so enjoyed my last time with you. It was about a year ago we did our pulpit swap. And I appreciate your coach. Coach Jake is a great man, and I've enjoyed getting to know him over the last number of years and what God is doing in the hearts and the people right here on Winter Road. You know, we call ourselves the Winter Circle, okay? If there's anything we should do on Winter Road is win souls for Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you thankful for His grace today? Oh, I am. I'm telling you, I have a privilege. My family wasn't able to be with me last year, but my wife and my son and my daughter are with me today. It's a great joy to have them here. And we're going to jump into the Word, and we're actually as a metro area, we're joining together with over 100 plus churches, and we're walking through the Book of Mark in the 1KC series. And so we're going to go there this morning in just a bit. But before I do, hasn't it been a crazy year? I am telling you what, once the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, it just all went downhill. I'm sorry, I am from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am a Steelers fan all the way. Yes, you can boo me now. That's okay. I'm conditioned to it because I do the same thing across the street, right? Have you ever had something in your heart that you were hoping for and it just never happened or it got delayed? Have you ever had that happen to you? I know, you have just experienced that as a Chiefs fan, right? You had in your heart to go back to back to win two in a row, and it didn't happen. But can I tell you something? I think it was a good thing for Patrick Mahomes. Can I tell you that? Now, he attends here, doesn't he? Okay, I know he tithes over at our church, but I don't know if he attends. He doesn't attend. I told my new worship pastor, if he would just get Patrick Mahomes to come, and doesn't have to come to church, just tithe. It would change everything, right? You know? But you know what? God's not concerned about what one person can do. I'm telling you, what all of us can do to better is much more than one person can do. Can you say amen? That's the power of unity. That's why we get together as other churches and we work together. It's not about what Inglewood can do or what Maywood can do or what Kairos Church can do or what Thrive Church down the road can do. It's about what we can do together because God uses us to work. And so many of us have been disappointed. I know for us, we went, anybody buy something that got delayed during COVID? Yeah. Like we got rid of our furniture and we went and bought new furniture in November. It was supposed to be here by February. Or actually, it was supposed to be here by January. And we still have not received our furniture yet. But everything is blamed on COVID. So everything is delayed. How about that? You know, if you ordered something, maybe if you experienced that, we have been disappointed. We have been delayed. Things have been postponed. Things have been put on the shelf, if you will. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, you'll see it on the screen. And I just want to say, I am so glad if you're watching online for joining us. I think we have three different pods here on campus. They're watching over in the Student Center and in the Fellowship Hall. We want to welcome you all. But Proverbs 13, 12 says, hope deferred makes a heart sick. It makes a heart sick. And surely this is the experience of the people of Israel because they were waiting for years for the Messiah. Back in 2091 BC, God tells Abraham and Sarah that he's going to build them a great nation, even though they were old. Now, I don't know what age you are in here, but I'm telling you, if you're still walking today and you're still breathing today, God's not done with you. And everybody over the age of 60 said amen. Okay, wow, we got a lot of over 60s in here. Hallelujah. Those are the faithful ones. Amen. No, you know, God's not done with you if you're still breathing. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And he said the same thing to Abraham and Sarah. But ultimately, from that nation would come the one, the Messiah, the one who would bless the nations. They were filled with hope because of that promise. Are you with me, church? They were filled with hope. I'm telling you today, if you're sitting here, if you're watching online today, God has a hope and a future for you. Your past might be messed up, but God is a God of second chances. You can have a redo. Can you say amen? So talk about a deferred longing, because here's what the deal was. It wasn't until 25 years after this promise to Abraham and Sarah that their first child was born. It took 25 years, and while this thrilled them, the hope of becoming a great nation got off to a slow start. And some of you understand what I'm talking about. You ever started a project and it just took forever? Now, all you wives just kind of nudge your husband right now, huh? Yeah, we started a project early on in the COVID series. We decided we were going to do a new deck. I think everybody did a new deck, or you know what I'm saying? And so we decided a new deck, and we did a little remodel, and it just dragged on and longer and longer. And I feel like Abraham and Sarah were feeling the same way. This is just taking forever, God. Fast forward to the end of the Old Testament. Here we are, we find ourselves at 400 BC, and Israel has become a great nation, but the Messiah, the anointed one, has yet to come. Talk about hope deferred, huh? Talk about longing for something, and it just wasn't coming about. In 1691, or actually almost 1700 years, I should say, have passed since the promise to Abraham and Sarah. 1700 years. Can I tell you, the people that walk and pace in front of their microwave think this is unthinkable? Do you ever find yourself? I put in some popcorn. We haven't had popcorn forever. Put in some popcorn last night. I pushed it and it said like 3.5 minutes. I'm like, I don't have time for this. I remember growing up and actually having to do popcorn on the stove. Anybody remember that? You put it inside of a pot and you shake the thing around, you know, do the hokey pokey. Turn yourself around and then it comes. Anyhow, some of us don't have patience to wait. But I'm telling you, God has a blessing for those who wait upon the Lord. And he did for his people and Israel. And of course, for us, the last person actually to speak in the Old Testament, some of you know him. He was a prophet. His name was Malachi. And he tells actually of the next prophet that would be coming to speak for God. And he's actually going to introduce the one that they've been waiting for, the one for all solution to getting us back to God. Can I tell you, God has a plan. He loves each of us. And think about his love this morning. We sang it, and Brother Daniel, you led us in it. You know, that whole song we sang, you're all I want, you're all I ever needed. Help me know that you're near. Listen, I'm telling you, the love of God, when you felt his presence, didn't you? At least I did. I think as we spend time in his presence, we start to realize how much God loves us. But he loved us from the very beginning. But here's the problem. Adam and Eve, they messed up. Anybody remember that story in Genesis? Yeah? In the beginning. And lots of times we find ourselves messing up even in the beginning of our stories. But here's the deal. When you mess up, I'm so thankful for this. God knew that we would mess up and he had a plan anyway. But the first Adam and Eve, they messed up because they went against God's word, didn't they? They sinned. Well, God had a plan to send what's known as the second what? Second Adam, right? Jesus himself, the Son of God. And so in Malachi chapter 3, I want you to see this morning. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 says, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord, you are seeking will come to his temple, to this temple, the messenger of the covenant. Whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. Now, Malachi's prophesying that God is about to do something big. Are you with me, church? Last week, we talked about that. I think Pastor Jake, I know you call him Coach Jake, and Jake was talking about what took place with the blind man, remember? Yeah, with Bartimaeus, and he could have very easily said, can I just have food and water to drink? No, Bartimaeus went big. Bartimaeus said, I want to see. And God healed him so he could see, not only physically, but spiritually. So Bartimaeus went big last week. Can I tell you that God is about to do something big here in their text today? So what happens next is exactly what we were told about that would happen with Malachi, the prophet, and also the prophet Isaiah. This happens 400 years after Malachi speaks of this. I want you to turn to our text today. If you got your Bibles, look at Mark. We're in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1. Would you turn there with me this morning? Mark chapter 1. If you have your phones, you can look on it there. If you're watching on TV or on the screen, it will be behind me. Mark chapter 1. I want to read it in verse 2, chapter 1. It says, as it is written in Isaiah, the prophet spoke this, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of the one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Father, in this place today, in your house, may we have ears to hear what you would speak to us, not just for our own health spiritually, but God, for those that are around us, that we represent, that we influence, God, the only translation of the Bible that people might see is us. And so, God, I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear your word today, to transform our lives, so not just for ourselves, but, God, you would transform the lives of others. Use us in that way as a church. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Do you know the word of God changes lives? It transforms people because it's the living word of God. It's God breathed. And listen, when God breathes something, there's life that comes to it. And so when Mark records this in verse four, it says, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judea countryside came, people from Jerusalem went out to him, and they were confessing their sins. They were being baptized by him in the Jordan River. Now, John the Baptist is a long-awaited prophet. This fulfillment really was from the prophecy that we saw with Malachi and also with Isaiah. We see this, and the fact this is the true Messiah that's about to be ushered in. Now we see in verse 6, this is really a description of John the Baptist. And Mark writes this, John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. Now aren't you getting hungry today? Aren't you thankful that he had a little honey to make those locusts taste a little better? That's what I'm thinking. But this was not the guy that they were looking for. They're like, who in the world, what in the world have we got ourselves into? This guy is not what we were expecting. John the Baptist is going to introduce the Messiah. This guy is a little different. Aren't you thankful that God can still use different people? He's using me, and I'm like, God, that's a miracle. I don't have time to tell you my story, but I'm just telling you, aren't you thankful that God can use the lowly things and the weak things to shame the wise? That's how God works. And so he's using John the Baptist. And so we see that John is not the prophet people were looking for, or not even the people that it wasn't even what they were hoping for. Neither is Jesus going to be the Messiah that everybody longed for. Why? Because they were hoping for a military leader. They were looking for a king that would bring them back to a place of power is what they were looking for. But can I tell you, in the end, they're going to get so much more. Our expectations can be messed up sometime. I remember as a kid, I was expecting something completely different at Christmas. And it's not, and I got a gift that I wasn't expecting. I was like, man, I did not want this. And clothes don't count for Christmas. Any kids in the house, you understand what I'm saying? Clothes don't count. You know, we need to get those some other time. But my listen, all of our expectations need to be managed in the proper perspective. And so this is what was going on with Israel. They were looking for something bigger, more extravagant. But Jesus, just like he came as a baby in a manger, he showed up on the scene just humble and being used of God. Look at verse 7. Mark records John's the Baptist's introduction. Look at verse 7 and 8. We'll read there next. After he comes, the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, church, what's about to happen is launching Jesus into his ministry here on earth. He lived on this earth for 33 years. He only was in ministry full-time for 3 of those years. But in those 3 years, he messed up a lot of people's theology, didn't he? He messed up a lot of people's thoughts of their expectations to a place where he brought true love, true understanding of truth itself to redeem the world. As John is speaking to the crowd, we see that Jesus walks up and asks him to be baptized. Jesus asks John to baptize him, and John is a little resistant. Matter of fact, he's like, baptizing the Son of God? Jesus insists, yes, this is the right thing to do. And so we see that John agrees to baptize him. And this is what happens. I think we have a picture. And you read in the Word of God in Mark chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "You are my Son who I love and who I am well pleased." And something powerful happens. I mean, it says this voice from heaven. And I don't know about you, but if you heard an audible voice from heaven, it probably would get your attention, wouldn't it? Now, I know some people that have heard the audible voice. I've been instructed by God in that still, quiet, still voice, right? Where you know that you heard the will of the Father. But this is the Father that's pleased with his Son. And then on that scene, when he gets water baptized, you see the dove that represents the Holy Spirit come in on the scene. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the key in your life to keep you on the right path, to keep you grounded to what God desires in your life. And so we see when Jesus was baptized, this took place. Jesus comes out of the water and he begins his work to accomplish what he came here to accomplish. Can I tell you, Jesus was on a mission from the very beginning, and that was to come and seek and save all who are lost. That's why Jesus came. And all of us in this place, I'm telling you, Romans 3:23 is right. We've all come short of the glory of God, haven't we? We've all fallen short, and we needed grace. So you need to hold on to your seat. You need to sit back and understand that this journey that Mark is taking us on for the next 8 weeks leading up to Easter itself, it's got a lot of twists. It's got a lot of turns. It has a lot of surprises. There's cliffhangers and all those things. But John, after he's finished baptizing Jesus, Mark informs us of the next event, which is pretty interesting. The next event into the ministry of Jesus, let's look at it in verse 12. It says, at once. Now, this blows me away. It's like, shouldn't there be a different path? Couldn't Jesus go to Disney World first? Isn't that where all the champions go? Right? No. The Spirit leads Jesus, listen, and sent him into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. And it was with wild animals, and the angels attended him. Now, isn't it interesting? At the very onset of the of Jesus going into full-time ministry, he's led by the Spirit into wilderness where Satan is going to tempt him. Now, has anybody ever been tempted before? Pastor, yeah. Yeah. That's every day of my life. It is. So immediately he's tempted out in the wilderness. And here's what's interesting. The first Adam messed up when he was tempted. Are you with me? He gave in to the temptation of the enemy, didn't he? Yes, he did. The second Adam is sent in the same situation where he's tempted, but not only, it's a little different. See, Adam and Eve had all the food they wanted. They weren't fasting. They weren't out in the wilderness. They had plenty, and they were tempted, and they failed. Jesus was in the wilderness, didn't eat, was out there for 40 days with wild animals, and the tempter comes. Jesus' time in the wilderness is a do-over. Everybody say a do-over. It was a do-over as the second Adam to be tempted and this time not fall short. Aren't you thankful? Adam's temptation in the garden, he fell short. But Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, he didn't fall short because there was a do-over. Jesus offers us, listen, church, Jesus offers us the chance to have a do-over. A second chance. I don't know all of your stories in here, but one of my favorite things as a pastor, one of my favorite things as a person is to sit down with people and listen to the stories they have. Because every one of you in this room have come from a background, an environment. Some have been dysfunctional. Some of them not been healthy, right? Did you know you're a product of your environments? Yeah. You need to look at the person to the right and left of you right now. You are becoming like them. Now you're like, can I sit somewhere else? But every other row is blocked off, Pastor. Why'd they do this to us? Here's the deal. You are a product of your environment. When I was a youth pastor, I always told my students, you know what? Your friends are like elevator buttons. They will either take you up or they will take you down. We are a product of our environment. And here's the deal. I don't know your stories. I don't know all your past, but there's somebody I know that does, and his name's Jesus. And he gives you a do-over. He gives you a second chance to get it right. Your past doesn't have to predict your future because of the redemption of the Messiah that came to get right what God wanted in the first place. And that was for you and I to have a relationship with the Father. Our God is all about relationships. See, we have the opportunity to flip. Everybody say flip. You ever watch HGTV, anybody? That's a dangerous show to watch. Oh my goodness. Then you find yourself looking at things in your house. Like, what can we do? Can I remind you, you don't have any, well, some of you are gifted, but I'm not Bob Vila, okay? And then I find myself, well, you know, I can get on YouTube and learn how to do something. Anybody ever done that before? And then you wish, man, you want to throw your phone out the window because YouTube doesn't work the same in your house as it does on the screen. Okay, it's like, what's up with this? Here's the deal. No matter what you've done and no matter what you've messed up on your own, God made a way for you to have a do-over. You can flip the script in your life. You can flip the script in your life if you look to the scripture in your life. Are you with me, church? Are you hearing me today? I'm telling you, you can flip the script. I don't care what you've been through, what trauma, what pain and disaster your life has been. Listen, there's a God that loves you still. And there's nothing you can do personally to make him love you any more or any less. He just flat out loves you. That's why he sent his son Jesus. So that Jesus would have a do-over in the wilderness so that you and I can follow in those footsteps and say, I want a do-over. Give me an opportunity to flip the script. See, when we make a decision to inherit the righteousness of Jesus, listen to me. It's a decision. It's a choice. You have to be intentional. Because all of us have the opportunity today. Matter of fact, all of us right now could have had the opportunity to stay at home today, sleep in, and not even go to church. And some of you are thinking, well, man, I should have done that. Because I don't like this conviction stuff. Listen, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Don't waste it on doing your own thing. Because I'm telling you, your script is not going to lead you in the right story. And some of you have been down that street, haven't you? Some of you have tried to write your own chapters. And my question is, how's that working for you? You didn't realize you were an author, did you? Every one of you are an author. But the Bible says he is the author of our what? He's the author of our faith, yeah. He's the author of our stories, the true author. And can I just encourage you today, let him give you a do-over by letting him take the penmanship of your book. And let him begin to write the chapters that he wants to write. Because I'm telling you right now that God has a blessing coming your way. Look at it with me, if you would, today. In 1 Peter chapter 1, would you turn there? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. I want to read this because Jesus, from the very beginning, he was going to be sent on a mission. God had it already set up. It says this, "For you know that it was not with the perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen," here it is, "he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for whose sake? For your sake. For my sake, though through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." Last week we talked about, and this whole series is really talking about cheering up. That was the title of last week's message, was cheer up. The title of today's message was hope. Who gives you hope? I pray this morning that you understand only Jesus can give true hope. He is the only one that is the provider of life, life for all of eternity. And so this morning, I know I love how Pastor Jake typically works his response time. It's such a practical way. I think last week he had you write some things down, didn't he? Write some things down that the question was, as Bartimaeus was talking to Jesus and asked Jesus, Jesus asked the question, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And you were supposed to write some things down, right? Maybe you've done that. You've put them somewhere where you'll see them. That's great. You need to pray over them because, listen, God is a God of miracles. But here's the deal. Listen to me. God does not want to do a miracle. He will not do a miracle in your life unless it multiplies. What are you talking about, Brandon? I'm telling you, God wants to bless your life so that he can bless others. Our God is a God of multiplication. And when he blesses you, he wants to bless somebody else through you. That's how God works. And so here's the deal. When God touches your life, he's going to touch your life through somebody else as well. And when that happens, there is something that there's a ripple effect that takes place. Now, all of you out there are wearing masks today. Never thought I would speak to a group of people for a year with masks on, but that's the case. That's the culture. That's the pandemic that we're in right now. I understand that. You understand that, right? They say that the COVID-19 virus is contagious. It's very contagious, and we know that. We've experienced. We've walked through it. But can I tell you something else that's extremely contagious? That's your life. That's been transformed by the power of Jesus. I'm telling you. But here's what happens lots of times. Listen to me, church. Pastor Jake gets 51 weeks of the year, and he probably gives other people chances to speak too. But it's a privilege for me to be here today with you. There's only 52 Sundays in a week. I'm sorry, in a year, yeah. I don't think there would be pastors if there were 52 Sundays in a week. It would be hard to find those. But listen to me. Of those 52 Sundays, this is one of them. And I count it a privilege to be at your church today. And I know Jake counts it a privilege to be at Over at Inglewood today. But I will tell you that the power of God that lives in you, the Holy Spirit that came down upon Jesus, is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. That is contagious. And when you speak, when you share something of life to somebody, when your actions represent the Godhead, right? People are watching. People are watching. You remember that day? I'm looking at my clock. You guys are, I'm convinced that you guys leave at what, 2 o'clock? I'm just teasing. We're out before you guys. Across the street, we start a little earlier. We start at 10, and we get out because they paid me as a pastor to get them out before the Baptists. I'm just joking. They just want to get to the restaurant sooner, right? Here's the deal. God has placed the Holy Spirit inside of you to make a difference. He has the opportunity to use your life in a powerful way this week. The words that you speak, the things that you say, people see them. Do you remember back in the day when they used to have, when you used to take a credit card, instead of putting it into a machine and swiping it, they used to put it on one of these little things and they would go, ch-ch-ch. Remember those? They had like a carbon copy papers. Some of you kids are like, what is that? They're antiques now. Go buy one down at, the 5 and 10 is no longer open. You know what I'm saying? You know, ch-ch-ch. And there was a little boy shopping with his mom for all day long. They were going shopping and they were using that machine. And the little boy, they went to another store and the clerk gave him a little lollipop. And his mom said to the boy, her little son, now what do you tell this gentleman for giving you a lollipop? He said, just put it on my credit card, please. The power of influence. The people you're around are like elevator buttons. You're the elevator button, church. Are you going to take them up? Or are you going to take them down? God wants to use your life to be contagious for the things of God. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes this morning, all across this room? God's maybe tugging at your heart today. Just as Jesus launched, listen, just as he launched into full-time ministry, the Spirit took him to the wilderness and tempted him. And Jesus understood something. He understood the Word of God. And every time the devil tempted him, Jesus used the Word of God to rescue him. And he didn't fall. And you here today, church, my prayer is that you would go to the scripture to protect you from falling. And that God would use you to use scripture in such a way, not only for the temptation, but for the people that are around you that you have the power to influence. And so I want to pray a special prayer with everyone in this room and those that are online. And those that are on the other locations here in this building, that God would bless your life in such a way that you would influence them for the King like never before. Father, I pray right now over this church. I pray, Lord, over those that are watching from home, on church online, and those, God, that will be hearing this maybe later this week. I pray for a blessing, God, upon their lives in such a way, Lord, just like Jesus, he was anointed and the Holy Spirit influenced him in a powerful way to touch lives. Not only to see miracles take place, but God, to point people back to the Father, to have a right relationship with the very creator of this universe. And my prayer today, God, is that we would be a church that would be contagious with the word of God that lives inside of us. Through your Holy Spirit's empowering, God, us to be your witnesses to others around us. God, I pray right now that you would bless Maywood. I pray, God, that you would bless Pastor and Coach Jake and the rest of the coaches here at Maywood. God, that you would anoint them. And Lord, that we would see the best year in 2021 as we are united together to see people's lives changed by the gospel. I pray that people would have a do-over. And Lord, that you would be the author of their stories. Flip their scripts with your scripture. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Isn't it good to be in church today?